Breath, America's favorite brand for dishes, presents Joyce Jordan, M.D.
Buy it. There's just nothing like it.
Try it. You'll see. It's simply grand.
Use it. It does the job. Bing, bang, bing.
It sure does, that new improved Dreft. If you hate to do dishes, you'll love that new Dreft. It does dishes far faster, far easier, far better than any soap you ever heard of. Why, in the hardest water, the new Dreft gives you more suds, ounce for ounce, than any product known. And how those suds do dishes. Wash them cleaner than soap ever could. They shine even without wiping. Why, those new Dreft suds work so hard, they cut grease without scouring. Have such an amazing effect on grease, the dishwater never feels greasy, never even looks greasy. The new Dreft is wonderfully mild, too. Always was milder for colors than the finest soap flakes, you know. Well, you can imagine how it must baby your hands. And if ka-chewing over the dishpan has been a problem, you'll appreciate the fact that this new Dreft is wonderfully sneeze-free. And every package lasts longer now, too. Washes one quarter more dishes. So it's easy to see why more people use Dreft for dishes than any other brand.
Buy it. There's really nothing like it.
Try it. It cuts the time and work in half.
Get Hep. Get Dreft. It's dream dust for dishes.
Remember, if you hate to do dishes, you'll love that new Dreft. And now, Joyce Jordan, M.D.
Mrs. Blakely, you may be the patroness of this hospital, but Dr. Tracy is chief of staff. She has asked me to perform this operation. It happens to be the type I specialize in. I will do this operation, and I'll do the finest job that's humanly possible. But after that, Dr. Tracy, I'll follow Alexander Gray's lead. I'll resign from the staff of Hotchkiss Memorial Hospital.
Joyce has made a decision, a firm decision. And this decision is separating her from all her friends. From Dr. Tracy, who admires her and has advised her. From Dr. Alexander Gray, who loves her, even though that love is not returned. From Dawson Blakely, whom Joyce loves, although she has returned his ring. And from Brett Martin, who's caused Joyce such grief the past year. Although Brett doesn't understand Joyce's reason for such a decision, she admits to herself,
Joyce's idea of leaving the hospital does me one good turn. She won't be around to interfere with my plans for Dawson Blakely. Mrs. Blakely was unfair to her. Then a doctor can't be involved in anything remotely scandalous, even if it isn't true. Joyce has saved my life, and I suppose it isn't very decent of me to take Dawson away from her. But if you ask me, that romance is as stale as yesterday's ginger ale. After all, she has returned his ring.
But Dawson Blakely isn't as happy as Brett Martin is about Joyce's decision.
Joyce left the hospital because I was so rude and horrid to her. I never meant my bad behavior to affect her whole life. It was just that it seemed foolish for such a beautiful, vital woman to consider marriage to an invalid. I loved her. I did it for her. But all I've done is lose her job for her. But heaven help me, I still love her.
Yes, Joyce appears happier than all her friends as she's busily hammering outside the brownstone front, which is to be her new home.
Hand me another nail, Mr. Jenkins.
Here you are. Yeah, you sure got a good eye, Dr. Jordan.
Well, I should have. A steady hand, too. I'm a doctor. Well, Mr. Jenkins, my shingle's out for all the world to see. How's it look?
Looks fine. Looks magnificent. Gives tone to the house, Dr. Jordan.
And you were the man who didn't want to rent an apartment to a doctor.
I didn't know you were such a good cat doctor when I said that.
Oh, now wait a minute. Don't tell people around this neighborhood that I'm a good cat doctor. I'll have nothing but our four-footed friends for patients. How's Muffin getting along? I haven't seen her since we moved in.
Well, she didn't have any appetite yesterday.
Oh?
But today, she snatched at her dinner. I broiled some chicken livers for her, Dr. Jordan. She's got a real fondness for chicken livers.
Oh, that Muffin's a spoiled cat. Say, Mr. Jenkins, won't you come into my waiting room with me and have a cup of tea and some cinnamon toast? You've been working on this sign for the last half hour. You must be chilled to the bone.
Well, tea and toast would taste good. Why muss up your waiting room? Why can't we go back to the living quarters?
Well, the waiting room's the only room that's respectable. We put that in order first, just in case we had patients. Sit down on your own sofa, Mr. Jenkins, and I'll ring for Celia.
Well, I was most ashamed to lend you this sofa. It was so shabby, Dr. Jordan. It looks mighty nice with that paisley shawl thrown over it.
I'll have it reupholstered as soon as there's time and money. Mr. Jenkins, this was your father's house. You were born in it?
71 years ago, Dr. Jordan.
Well, I'd never have guessed that you were a day over 61. How did a born New Yorker ever come by a name like Seth Jenkins? It sounds like a country name.
Well, my grandparents came from upstate New York. They were country.
Oh.
Jenkins is an upstate name. My father married a city girl, and this house belonged to her parents. When they died, it was willed to her and to my father.
Well, now I know all the answers. Were you an only child, Mr. Jenkins?
I was the youngest of six. The other five are dead and buried. I'm the last of my line. Well, I guess I got kind of queer and ingrown.
Well, I suppose you folks will be wanting a cup of tea and some toast. Well, I got the kettle on.
Why, Celia, you're psychic. Can it be cinnamon toast?
Yes, ma'am. And I brought some layer cake from the other house.
Oh, well,
maybe Mr. Jenkins would fancy a slice of it.
If I don't watch out, I'll be owing you board money instead of you owing me rent money. Thanks, Celia.
That's all right, sir. Oh, that's a doctor's bell. Maybe it's our first patient. I'll go to the door.
Well, if it's a patient, I'd better not stay.
Well, I don't think it'll be a patient so soon. Of course, it would be wonderful if it were.
Oh, it's flowers, Miss Joyce.
Oh, how nice. Well, let's see what it says on the card. Alexander Gray. He's wishing me success. Oh, how sweet of him.
Well, maybe there'll be flowers from somebody else, too, as well as Dr. Gray.
Dr. Gray, your sweetheart, Dr. Jordan?
No, he's just an associate of mine.
Uh-huh. Red roses. They always seem to mean more than any other flower.
Well, maybe it'll be a patient this time.
Oh, here's hoping. Let's keep our fingers crossed, Mr. Jenkins.
It's more flowers. Two this time. Mm-hmm. These are swell elegant, Miss Joyce. Spring flowers in the coldest season of the year. Who's it from?
Well, let's see. They're from Dr. Anise Tracy. Also wishing me luck.
Dr. Tracy, your sweetheart?
Oh, Mr. Jenkins, Dr. Tracy's an old woman, sir.
Oh, well, that takes care of that.
And Richard Bergman.
Yeah, the big newspaper man?
Uh-huh. Oh, maybe that Mr. Bergman is going to turn out nice after all. Well, I'll go fetch the tea and toast and cake. I'll be back in a jiffy.
Celia, been with you a long time?
Oh, ages and ages. I wouldn't know how to get along without her. Oh, I'll go this time. And if it's a patient, you'd better leave, Mr. Jenkins, but fast. Or try to look like a patient yourself. Mm. Oh, thank you very much. More flowers. Sweetheart roses. Oh, I'm sure I know who these are from. Oh. They're from the woman who gave me the lead on this apartment, Mr. Jenkins. Eleanor Wilcox, that's her name.
Yes, I remember.
She says on the card that she sent them because they make her think of babies. They're so little and pink. She says she hopes I'll keep her in mind. And she wishes me luck, too.
What does she mean that she hopes you'll keep her in mind?
Oh, she hasn't any children. She wants to adopt a baby, and she thinks maybe I'll hear of a baby who needs parents, and... Oh, I hope so dreadfully the sweetheart roses were from a man I used to know.
Well, now the day is darkened into twilight. Mr. Jenkins has gone his way. Brett Martin and Dawson, together under the same roof, are established in the Blakely mansion. And Joyce and Celia are seated alone in her new waiting room, which is gay with flowers. But Joyce's face
isn't gay.
You're disappointed, ain't you, Miss Joyce?
Oh, I was over-optimistic expecting a patient the first day.
But I meant you were disappointed because he didn't send you any proposes. I think he might have sent you something, Miss Joyce.
Celia, I told you, it's all over between Dawson Blakely and me.
Well, maybe he'll send you flowers later on. Oh, maybe that'll be his flowers at the 11th hour. I'll go, Miss Joyce. And they better be good. White orchid or something.
I wonder if they are. What is it, Celia?
Oh. Well, all right, Sarah, I'll tell. It ain't flowers, Miss Joyce.
A patient?
No. It's Sarah, the laundress. She came to pick up the wash. You know, we sent her a card giving her the new address.
Well, bring her in here, Celia. I want to talk to her. If she isn't fit to do the laundry, I think we better make another arrangement.
Okay, Miss Joyce. This way, Sarah, honey.
Thank you. I'm awfully sorry, Miss Jordan, that I didn't show up last week for the wash. It's only that I've been not feeling too well, Miss Jordan. And...
Oh, well, she ain't Miss Jordan, honey. She's Dr. Jordan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Jordan. I didn't mean to call you Miss when you were a doctor. I knew you were a doctor, but it kind of slipped my mind because I've had such a lot of things on my mind.
Don't be so upset, Sarah. Celia said that you were, and I can see that she was right. I don't blame you for not getting the laundry done on time. After all, a woman in your condition can't be expected to do hard work like washing on schedule.
I'm sorry.
But wouldn't it be better if I found another laundress to take your place? After all, you're such a thin little thing. Under ordinary circumstances, you don't look strong enough to do heavy work. And right now...
Oh, don't take the wash away from me, Dr. Jordan. I need it awful bad. I'll get it done somehow. Honest, I will. The laundry I do is the only way I've got to make money. And if I don't make money, I'll starve.
Sarah, you're as white as a sheet. Here. Sit down. How soon do you expect this baby of yours?
In about 2 or 3 weeks.
My goodness me, that soon, Sarah?
What's your husband thinking of, allowing you to do laundry at a time like this? Sarah, don't cry that way. You'll make yourself ill. What is it, Sarah?
I haven't got any husband, Dr. Jordan. I haven't got anybody in all the world that cares whether I'm alive or dead. I'm alone.
Catch her, Celia. She's fainting.
I got her, Miss Joyce. She's passed out cold.
You take her head, Celia.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll take her feet. Right. We'll get her over to the sofa. There. Well, Celia, we have our first patient.
Now, here's another of our I Have To letters. It's from Mrs. Jarvis Franzblau of Ann Arbor, Michigan, who says...
Whenever I ask my husband to help with the dishes, he says, I have to go over our charge account. Of course, we only have one account. But he hates to do dishes, and so do I.
Well, if you hate to do dishes, you'll love that new Draft. It does dishes quicker, easier, better than the best soap you can find. Why, the first time you see those suds foam up, you'll be amazed. In the hardest water, this new Draft makes more suds, ounce for ounce, than any other known product. And they're suds that really go to work. Why, dishes shine even without wiping. The greasiest pots and pans come clean without hard scouring. And yet, the new Draft suds are so mild. Milder than they've ever been, a real blessing to your hands. This new Draft is wonderfully sneeze-free, too. And every package washes 1/4 more dishes. Don't miss it, friends. If you hate to do dishes, you'll love that new Draft. And now this is Richard Stark inviting you to listen again to Joyce Jordan, M.D., brought to you by Procter & Gamble, makers of Draft, America's favorite brand for dishes. It's new, it's improved, it's better than ever. Draft.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.